The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the rolling of the sea and its waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads. Your redemption is close at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing or drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life do not trap you. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations which are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. The language of our readings today is apocalyptic. It's a literary genre that we have visited many times in our reflections here in our liturgy. And rather than wrestle with the detail of this language, we should concentrate on its message. The detail requires study and some conversation and some measure of dialogue. But the message is very foundational. And the message is very formative. So let us look for a few moments at the message, the teaching which comes from the readings which we have now as we begin our season of waiting, our season of Advent. Waiting for the Lord. In the early 16th century, for 10 years, from 1503 to 1513, the papacy was occupied by Pope Julius II. Charitably, I'll say he was peculiar. A lot of extraordinary things about this fellow that history doesn't anoint. However, there was one thing about him. He was a great patron of the arts. He was the one who restored St. Peter's Basilica. And in 1503, when he was a new pope, he first saw Michelangelo's Pietà. And he was so impressed by it that he commissioned Michelangelo to sculptor 16 what they call the slaves of Michelangelo, 15 impressions of slaves coming to freedom. Well, by the time he died, the project was not completed, and in the meantime, he had diverted Michelangelo to the Sistine Chapel and various other commissions. And therefore, Michelangelo never finished the project. It was meant to be for the tomb of Julius. Some people do that kind of thing. They want to live forever, and they do these little gymnastics into memory. Well, Julius was one of those. He partly finished, 6 of these slave impressions. 2 were completely finished. They're in the Louvre in Paris. 4 are in the Accademia in Florence, very close to where David is. And one of them is the awakening slave. Stunning. A man coming to life, but still imprisoned in the marble, like half alive. Most people don't notice this. When people go to the Academia in Florence, they want to see David, because David is fully formed and David is perfect. We seek out perfect things to inspire us, but not true with Michelangelo. The awakening slave is, as people line up to see David, it's in that section of the Academia. What's remarkable and inspiring about the awakening slave is it's a man who is not complete, not whole in form, but whole in awareness, awakening to something new, therefore indicating a promise yet to be fulfilled, some wonderful thing yet to happen in life, some expectancy, something to anticipate, some wonder, some miracle, which has yet to take place in life. The awakening slave. I was looking for an image for Advent, and that crossed my mind, remembering the awakening slave. It teaches us that in the journey of Advent, perfection is not what we seek. Awareness, connection, that's what we seek. Thinking about this, I asked a number of people, what will you do for Advent that will change you and perhaps people around you? One person said, for every $10 I spend on luxury items, I will donate $1 to charity. That was nice. I said, by the way, don't forget Holy Family. That is okay. And I hope you buy a lot of things. That would change the way we see things. Someone else said, I'm an impatient driver in traffic or when people get in my way. So I will endeavor to be patient. And this will remind me of the coming of the Lord. A nice couple, good friends, said, we have decided that for Advent, we will give compliments. That was nice. I like that. Say the good word. Not the judgment. Not something negative. Say the good word. I swear I meet people all the time who are only half alive. They're not good company. They're half alive. They're whining, moaning. Everything is wrong. And after you're with somebody like this for a while and they leave, you say, wow, thank God I survived. Then there are other people who are alive. They're alive. And when you are with them, they give you life. They don't drain, they give life. Life-giving people are people who stand in a condition of expectancy. There is always more to come. I live my life in my own journey, under a promise. You can live your life under a curse or under a blessing, and you choose it. I want to live my life under a promise that God, my Father, has promised me a full life. And I trust the promise of God, my Father. And so I should approach life with a certain optimism, a certain positive expectancy that wonderful things are yet to come. Despite the economy and all the things that are wrong, and the church struggling, and the pains and the sins of the church. The power of Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father, lifts my spirit. In the music in Les Miserables, you will remember Jean Valjean, who is the ex-convict or the convict, and he steals the silver from the bishop. In those days, the bishops had a lot of silver. Well, he steals the silver from the bishop, and the police get him, bring him back to the bishop, and the bishop says, "Oh, yes, I will verify his story. I gave him the silver. By the way, I meant, Jean Valjean, I meant you also to take the candlesticks." And so he is set free. I mean free. For now, he says to himself, if you read Victor Hugo, now he says to himself, "I must be either an angel or a monster. I must be the best of men or the worst of men, because my life is changed and there are great things yet for me. Now there's meaning in my life." Somebody a few days ago sent me a 1 minute clip, YouTube, a teaching. And it was very, very tender and very beautiful, and it fits into our conversation today. This 1 minute email video begins with a man, an elderly gentleman, sitting on the sidewalk. In the background is a large building, and this is set, I would say, from their accents in Scotland. Huge building in the background, and then it pans around, and many people are very, very busy. They're laughing, they're celebrating, they're moving around in every direction, and life is going on. And this man is blind and transparently poor. And he's sitting there, and he has a sign, a cardboard sign about this big. It said, "I'm blind, please help." And then he has a little can to get his donations. And many, many people pass, and very few people drop anything in his little receptacle there. And then a beautiful young woman comes along, and she passes, and then she goes back. And without saying anything, she picks up the cardboard sign, turns it over, and she writes something on it and places it faced out what she had written. And she leaves. Meantime, the man has touched her feet and knows that it's a lady who is there. And now people begin to drop coins and money on him. Everybody that passes seems to stop and drop money. And finally, this lady comes back, returning on her journey, it would appear. And she stops, and he feels her feet again, and he knows it's the same person. And he said, "What did you do?" And she kneels down, and she says, "I said the same thing, but I use different words." And then she leaves, and you get the sign, what she wrote on the cardboard sign. And it says, "It's a beautiful day, and I cannot see it." That's Advent. It's a beautiful day, and some of us cannot see it.